Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, October 5th. Today we have our weekly installment of the Purple State Update with the Colorado Sun, our collaboration during election season with writers from the Colorado Sun. First, KVNF News asked John Frank about the first major poll that indicates Democrat candidate for governor Jared Polis has a 7-point lead over Republican Walker Stapleton at 47% to 40%.
The most interesting numbers are deeper inside the results, and when you break it down, you see that Polis holds an 18-point advantage among self-described unaffiliated voters and a 17-point advantage among women. You can also look at a 20-point advantage among voters under age 55. Now, these are big numbers, and so the pressure is really on Stapleton to shift the direction of the race before this gets cemented in Polis' favor.
The first debates between the governor candidates is tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is one of the hosts of that event, and the second debate is Saturday night in Grand Junction. What do you anticipate in these first of six scheduled debates?
I think these debates are going to be really interesting, and particularly these first two back-to-back. Now, our debate will air Friday night at 6 on CBS4 and also statewide on Colorado public television. So we're going to cover issues of interest to voters all across the state. I'm one of the moderators for the debate, and I can tell you we're still working on the questions and probably will be up until the debate. But right now we're looking at, you know, how these two candidates differ, and we hope to make that difference really apparent for voters. In the second debate on Saturday, it's going to focus almost exclusively on rural issues, which is going to be a really interesting contrast. A lot of discussion about water. You saw Jared Polis release his agriculture plan earlier this week, and then you saw Walker Stapleton pick up the endorsement of the Colorado Farm Bureau. So there's a lot riding on both these debates, and both are going to cover a lot of ground and I think give Colorado voters a good sense of who these candidates are.
And our last question is about current Governor John Hickenlooper. He toured Florida and Georgia last week. Your article on thecoloradosun.com sure makes it the governor look and sound like a presidential candidate. He's a Democrat who does not support a single-payer health care system, and he's often called a centrist, even though he dislikes that term. Is Hickenlooper Democrat enough to get elected in a primary?
That's one of the real questions I looked at as part of this story. I traveled with Hickenlooper to Florida and Georgia in late September to get an exclusive look. We were the only reporter on the trip. You know, at his return to the campaign trail, now that he's openly courting a potential presidential run. And the story reveals a number of interesting tensions about Hickenlooper's candidacy, most notably whether there's room for a politician like him in the Democratic Party. Because even if his politics aren't centrist, he definitely takes a centrist approach to politics. And I did find this kind of deeper thread that you mentioned, that Hickenlooper is really struggling to talk about his record in Colorado, and particularly the liberal side. He usually emphasizes collaboration and bipartisanship, but he's going to need to talk about his Democratic credentials in order to really get excitement from within the party. And I saw this happen at a Democratic event in Georgia, in the Atlanta suburbs, where Hickenlooper began to talk about his push for tougher gun regulations, which is not a topic you hear him talk a lot about here in Colorado. And he won big applause. And so it really showed this interesting tension. He's got elements that can appeal to the Democratic Party. The question is whether he can find that voice.
Colorado schools have a funding problem. Voters will have the final say on an ambitious amendment this November that could help solve the problem. Stephanie Daniel has more.
Amendment 73 would raise $1.6 billion annually through a tax increase on corporations and individuals and families earning over $150,000, which is about 8% of state residents.
Oh my gosh, this is game-changing. This would be the best increase in public school funding that we've been able to get in decades in Colorado.
Kathy Kipp is a member of the Poudre School District Board of Education. She's raising awareness about the amendment at a back-to-school night event at Cruz Elementary School in Fort Collins.
If you have any questions, let us know.
The revenue would go into the Quality Public Education Fund and be split among all school districts, allowing for local control over how the money is spent. Lisa Weil is the executive director of Great Education Colorado.
Every community has different demographics and different geographics. And so it's where the decision should be made and where the accountability lies.
But critics like Michael Fields take issue with that. The executive director of the conservative advocacy group Colorado Rising Action says school districts don't have a good track record of wisely using the funds they already have.
So I think that we need to fix our current system before asking people for more money.
Increasing income and corporate taxes isn't the only thing 73 would do.
And actually, if they had stayed with income tax, I wouldn't have made a peep.
Steve Miller is the Larimer County Assessor.
Property tax is something I know about, and they really kind of mess things up, you know, in a serious fashion.
So this is where things get complicated. The Gallagher Amendment already regulates the amount of property taxes that are collected on residential and non-residential properties. Amendment 73 would add additional rates for both that school districts can collect. So a property owner would have two tax bills. Money from 73 would go to schools, and Gallagher dollars would fund public services.
Public education in Colorado is certainly a strong force, and it's important, but it's not the only important thing that the state funds.
And those tax rates would be fixed, while Gallagher's residential property rate would continue to drop. Miller says this would have unintended consequences, like decreasing money for things like paying firefighters, especially in rural areas where property values aren't that high. And homeowners may end up paying more in the long run. But Lisa Weil says the amendment would create a steady stream of funds so school districts won't have to rely as much on the state.
So that there's not less and less local support and a greater amount of backfill that has to come from the state general fund.
Do you know about Amendment 73?
Back at Cruz Elementary School, Kathy Kipp is focusing on what could be done with the additional revenue.
It would go a long way to creating a more adequate and equitable and sustainable education funding here in Colorado for all of our public schools.
In her district, some of the money might be earmarked for increasing teacher salaries and mental health support. But she says the first step would be having a conversation with the community.
We've got a long list of priorities.
But for Michael Fields, who agrees teachers should be paid more, this long list of priorities doesn't mean much.
You know, $1.6 billion tax increase that basically doesn't guarantee any student achievement growth. And you know, they talk about teacher retention or, you know, attracting new teachers. I think they need to be a lot more specific than they are.
As Election Day nears, backers of Amendment 73 face a problem outside of their control. 73 could get lost in a crowded statewide ballot, which will include questions from about 20 local communities that also plan to raise property taxes to increase school funding.
From KUNC, that's Stephanie Daniel reporting. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Friday, October 5th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.